Anyhow, okay. So we just want to get back into the atmosphere of the presence of the Lord, back into that same atmosphere of worship. So Friday night we had prayer, and the Lord has kind of really been showing me some visions. And Saturday he began to just really download more. And I really felt like, okay, this is a prophetic word. And I called Stacy and submitted it to him. And he said, yes, go for it today. So, and it's so amazing how much confirmation I have gotten left and right all over the place through the worship, through our prayer this morning, through others, through the prophetic words, every single thing. God is confirming what he's speaking this morning. So again, Father, I thank you that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive and to obey what you're speaking to us today. So during the worship, I heard church bells ringing. And when I hear church bells ringing, that always speaks to me as the Lord's call. The Lord is calling his people unto himself to worship. And then I heard, at a different song, I heard a clock ticking. I heard tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. So the Lord is saying it's time. It's time to hear the sound of the call of the Lord to come into his house to activate, be an activation in his house. Anyway, that wasn't part of my message, but The first visions Friday night was I saw a big ship in the ocean and going in one direction, and I saw a mighty strong wind blowing against it. And as that strong wind, I mean a mighty strong storm type of a wind, thank you for those songs about the wind and, you know, stirring our hearts. It turned that whole big ship around 180 degrees and in the opposite direction. And I felt like that ship represented our nation, but also us individually and even, you know, so the, all of us as a nation. Then I saw a sailboat. And I felt like the sailboat represented the church. And so as these winds were blowing, it was the wind of the Holy Spirit. And the sailboat had white sails. And these white sails were being, you know, pulled up, lifted up, and opened up. And I felt like the sails were like flags. And, you know, it represents a standard, and it also represents surrender. Thank you for the song about I surrender, have your way. So surrender to the call, and then the church bell ringing, you know, goes with what the Lord is saying. And so the white, you know, to me also represents the purity. And we've been hearing about the cleansing words and the cleansing within the worship and all that. So the sailboat, the church, lifted up. And matter of fact, you know, can we just do that right now? Can we all lift up our hands? Because it's like our hands are like a flag. It's like we're lifting up a standard. Let's just close our eyes and, you know, just imagine that you're the sailboat and you're lifting up your sail. You're lifting up the flag, the standard. You're lifting up your surrender to the call. And you're saying, have your way. And you're letting the wind of the Holy Spirit blow into your sail. The breath of God blowing and moving you forward into the right direction where he wants to go, the direction of righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can bring your hands back down. Thank you for participating. And so the Lord is speaking that this is the beginning of a movement. This is not just a one-time thing. This is a movement. We have a movement of the Holy Spirit. And he wants all of us to be blown and moved with this movement of the Holy Spirit of what he's doing in this season. So then I heard the word flagship. And so a flagship, I kind of didn't quite exactly know what that is. So I had to look it up. You guys probably know. You're smarter than me. flagship is a vessel which carries the commanding officer of a fleet or squadron and flies his distinctive flag, which is flown at the masthead, which usually is at the highest part of the ship of a vessel in commission. And it usually, that flag is usually in a triangular shape, and especially as a military ensign indicating nationality. And so that just really speaks to me prophetically. Basically, you know, that our distinctive flag is the ecclesia. It's, you know, the triangle representing the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So as we were raising our hands, we're lifting up a standard and a flag, our surrender to the call and our identification, our nationality of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the ecclesia. This is our identifying distinctive flag of the flagship. So then the Lord gave me Joshua 5, 13 through 15. And it says, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, and we know Jericho represents what? What was in Jericho? Okay. Giants. Okay. It's a demonic structure. It represents a demonic structure that was at the very beginning that they had to conquer before entering, as they were entering into the promised land. Anyway, Joshua was near the town of Jericho. He looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" Or some translations say, "Are you for us or are you against us?" Then he said, "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell to his face to the ground in reverence or in worship. And he said, "I am at your command. What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. Joshua obeyed. "The place that you're standing is holy." This is a place set apart, a set apart place. And it's the point is that the commander, you know, he didn't come to be on one side or the other. You know, Joshua wanted to know, "Are you on our side?" It's not about what side things are on. He came to deal with the demonic structure that needed to be dealt with. He came as the commander of the army, of the Lord's army. And he, you know, he invites us to participate. And I think the Lord's army are angels. They're angelic beings. They're mighty warring angels. And you know, the word says that there are many more with, you know, us and the armies of heaven than the armies of the darkness. But he invites us to participate, to be the army of the Lord here on earth. And he comes and assists us with angelic help, as the word was even going forth today. And so Joshua's response was, "I am at your command." So we're in a season right now where, you know, God is coming As the commander of the army of the Lord, the Lord's army, to deal with demonic structures in our nation. And he's inviting us to participate. He's inviting us to surrender. He's inviting us not to get into debates about, you know, who, what side, you know, people are on. You know, what's important is that we're on the Lord's side and that we're doing what he's calling us to do, what he, partnering with him. In that set apart place of surrender. So Joshua obeyed. He did as he was told. I want to share. Pull that off real quick. Many years ago, I had a dream about a tsunami wave that was coming, two of them. And it was coming, you know, into our nation, East Coast area. And the first wave was lower than the second. It washed through this hotel that I was cleaning. So it's always a representative of a prophetic thing, you know, the Lord cleaning his church. The first wave washed through the hotel, but it didn't overflow the floor that I was on. The second wave was much higher, and I saw it coming from far away. And there were like steamboats, like old-fashioned kind of steamboats like you had in the era of the Civil War type. They were red, and they had black smoke coming out on the top of them. And I knew that, oh my gosh, this was huge. It came, flowed and flushed through this big high-rise hotel, which represents the church. And as it flowed through, I turned and walked through the other side and looked out the window. And as I did, I saw all these boots on the ground. I saw all these soldiers with boots on, which is the army of the Lord that's arising. We're coming out of the walls of the church, and we're going to be the boots on the ground. I mean, not that we're not meeting anymore, but God is calling us out to be boots on the ground. You know, to be part of the Lord's army. I like the word about the angels. I want to remind us that the Lord has been speaking about this angel of change just a couple of weeks ago. And just to repeat what Claire was already saying, part of it is changing our mind, you know, through the renewing of the mind. You know, he wants to make us a new wineskin. We know that if we stay in the old wineskin, what happens to the wine? It gets lost. So we have to develop and move into being a new wineskin and allowing this angel of change, this change agent that's here now, you know, to allow the changing of our perspective, allow the religious mindsets of the past season that, you know, they may have been fine in the last season, but they're not anymore now. God is doing a new thing now, and we have to move on with what he's doing. And then also part of the word was, I had that vision of the old-fashioned kind of locomotive. I like to give pictures because a lot of people are pictorial, and it helps them to kind of get it. So this old-fashioned locomotive, you know, that I saw the cranking up and the wheels turning, and I heard shh, 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 shh. And so the Lord was saying, you know, that there is a acceleration, you know, and a speeding up of things. And, you know, I heard the Lord say, all aboard, all aboard. And the whistle, you know, the conductor blowing the whistle. Matter of fact, where is Damien? Come up here. Come. All aboard. Hear that word. The church bells are ringing. All. Stay right here. Okay. All aboard. And the flagship, the church, lifts up a banner, a flag. Isaiah 5, verse 26 says, he lifts up a banner for the distant nations. He whistles for those at the ends of the earth. here they come swiftly and speedily. And you know, when I was little, my dad used to, are you raising your hand? No, okay. My dad, when I was little, he used to blow. He used to whistle, you know, from the window of the house. We were out playing in the fields across a ways off. When he blew, when he whistled, it was so loud we heard, and we came running. We came running home. And so one of the things that I heard Friday night was, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And that the prodigals are coming home. And so I want him to whistle again specifically about that. We're going to call the prodigals all aboard. Whistle again.
Okay. Oh, Abba. All right. Lord, we thought we knew what we wanted when we ran away from home, when we separated from you, and we went out and we had our fun, but it was not fulfilling. None of it was. There was the illusions of it. There's the feeling of it, but it never lasted. It could never last. But eventually we took a second to look around at where we were, empty and just broken. It was not fun. It was not. It was nothing. It was just emptiness. And we just thought to ourselves, just maybe my father, maybe he'll just give me a second chance. So we stepped out and went back to him. And as soon as he could see us, full sprint, straight to us. And he came and grabbed us and took us off our feet and just embraced us with his love, overwhelming love, overwhelming, like the thoughts of all the things that we had done in the past when we were far away from him were just the faintest thing. They didn't even exist in his presence. That's how overwhelming and how powerful his love is for us. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you come running. We can hear and see that train just coming straight at us. And you're calling us. You're beckoning. You're knocking at the door of our heart. And you just want to be united with us. So, Lord, we respond. Because to resist is just foolishness. It's just foolishness. No, we want you, Lord. We want just you. All aboard.
Amen. Yes. Yes. We call the prodigals. We call, Lord, you're whistling to the prodigals. We call for them to come home to the Father's house. All aboard, the door is open. There's room for you no matter what you've done, no matter the sin, though your sins were scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Come home to the Father. Thank you, Lord. So when I saw that ship, I knew that when the wind came, that it was the mercy of God. So, Father, we thank you for your mercy. And I almost kind of have had the feeling of the ship kind of being kind of like the Titanic, you know, just kind of going in the wrong direction that could lead to destruction. So thank you for your mercy, God. Mercy. Your mercy for America, Lord. A strong wind turning us around 180 degree in the right direction of righteousness and justice for all. Thank you. Turning us to be one nation under God, indivisible. Yes, for justice for all, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So then the Lord took me to Isaiah 6. So this whole vision about the train in Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, high and lifted up. Again, that's that picture of the flagship and the flag again being lifted up to the highest place of the masthead, the King Jesus, high and lifted up, and his train, the train of his robe, filling the temple. Then it continues on. So that's part of the train also. It's, you know, it's the glory train. All aboard to the glory train. So above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Who's the Lord of hosts? It's the commander of the Lord's army. The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. Holy, holy, holy. That holy place, that separate, set apart place. God is bringing us back into that place. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at his voice. The voice is all about the pay this year. The voice of him who called, and the house, that's the bet, was filled with smoke. The Lord of hosts is shaking the foundations with his voice in this year and in this decade. And this new era, not only is it a new decade and a new year, it's a new era that needs a new wineskin. A new era requires a new wineskin. So he's shaking the foundations, our foundations in our individuals' lives, in our nation, in the church. Because he wants to fill his house with his glory. So back to the pay, maybe not everybody has heard that, but we're in the year of 5781 now, but 5780 on the Hebrew Jewish calendar, the 80 decade, this new decade that we came into in 2020, that letter, the number 80 is also the letter pay, and it means mouth or breath or, you know, speech. And so we just at Rosh Hashanah in September 18th, the Jewish festival of Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, okay? And God has a different calendar than us Gentiles. So the Jewish New Year already happened September 18th, and we already entered into 5781. So the new number added, the number one added to the 80, is the letter Aleph. And it means strength or power. So if 80 means mouth and speech and breath, which the jaw is all about that, the letter one adds strength, as Brenda was prophesying. The angel came, the angel of change, from the armies of heaven are coming to bring strength, to bring and add power, you know, to the words and the speech of the church, empowering us and strengthening us. Does that make sense? Okay. And that letter, pay, the 80, has a hidden letter bet inside, and that letter bet means house. And so he wants to fill the house, okay? The mouth is the 80, the pay, and the bet is in the letter, in the Hebrew. Inside of that letter is a hidden letter bet. So inside of us is the house of God, and he wants to fill the house with his glory. And this year, okay, is the beginning, because 2020 was a transition year. Now we're coming into the new beginning with the number one of Him bringing the strength and the power and the breath. Now, you know, you think it's by accident that the beginning of this year, this is when we started with Corona and having to wear masks, you know, the enemy trying to muzzle our mouth and our speech and our voice and our breath. I can't breathe. But we say, no, God has a plan and it shall succeed. By the way, Chief Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's Jewish. She died on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. To me, it's a prophetic sign of the end of an era and the beginning of a new era. And, you know, by the way, her robe didn't fill the temple. So, all aboard. So then it continues on. So when this happened, you know, it shifted things in the spirit. It shifted things in the atmosphere. And there's a shaking. And, you know, we know that there's a shaking. We can feel the shaking. But we also know that things are going to shift in the courts now. So, you know, I believe that just as Isaiah, when in the year that Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up and the train of his robe filling the temple, we are now going to see in the year that Ginsburg died that we're going to see the Lord high and lifted up. Yes. Amen. Yes. And the train of his robe is going to fill our temple. And a new standard is going to be raised in this nation. All aboard. So the all aboard is not just for the prodigals. It's for all of us. He wants us to come aboard to what he's doing. So then Isaiah continues and he said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Again, "Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." We speak it and declare it and release it over our nation. We release it over our White House in the name of Jesus. We release it over the church in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the cleansing of our lips, because our lips are so important this year, because you want to bring your strength and your power to our lips, Lord God. May the fruit of our lips be giving glory to your name, Lord. May the fruit of our lips glorify and exalt and lift you high, Lord, in this year and in this season and in this era, Lord. And then it continues on, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and be healed." But we say, Lord, that this time their ears are going to be open and their eyes are going to be open and their hearts are going to be open and not hardened anymore and not callous, Lord God. And their heart is going to perceive and receive your mercy, Lord. And they will turn. They will turn, Lord, just like you showed me the ship that's turning. This nation will turn and be healed. Yeah, Lord, you said, "If my people, which are called by your name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked face, you shall hear from heaven and you will forgive our sins and you will heal our land." So we thank you for your mercy. The winds of mercy that are blowing against this ship that's going in the direction of destruction, Lord, you're turning it back in the right direction of righteousness, Father. Thank you for healing our land. So Judy had a vision in the prayer room, because since I just quoted about, you know, "If my people, which are called by your name, humble themselves and pray." So she had a vision in the prayer room about a prayer shawl, the talit, and the Lord was just kind of had that over his head, and he was kind of bowing down, and she kind of felt like that represented humility. And, you know, we are not to look down on the people that are, you know, caught in this evil and destruction, and we are not to be rejoicing when they're being punished. We need to pray for them to turn, for their eyes to be opened, their ears to be opened, their hearts to be opened to receive mercy and salvation and grace and deliverance. But I also felt like it really spoke about prayer. And it goes with this message about, you know, part of what God is doing the prayer movement. I'll get into that a little bit more. And you talked about that with your dream as well. But it's, you know, part of that talit picture is coming in face to face with the Lord in this prayer closet, is into this intimate place, basically. Seeing him face to face, seeing his heart, and then coming into agreement with what he's seeing and what he's saying. So the question is, what ship are we on? And that's the title of the message today. What ship are we on? I keep eating my mic. So the first word really that comes to mind was sonship. We know the Spirit, the Romans 8 says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And Phil had gotten a word in the prayer room about, you know, how God is revealing the sons of God. This is what he's doing right now. You know, he's, creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, we are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. So ship, what ship are we on? Sonship. Then the next one, citizenship. You know, we're a citizen of heaven. Membership. We're members of his body. Partnership. He's called us to be partakers of his divine nature. Friendship. He's called us to be friends. He said, no longer do I call you servants, because the servants don't know the master's business, but I've called you friends, because he wants us to come right under that talit, you know, face to face, to see and to hear, to, you know, see and feel his heartbeat, and to hear what he has to say and to agree with him and then declare that. Lordship. Romans 12:1 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Note that was 1 Corinthians 12:3. And so this is not about just what we say with our mouth. Nobody can really live Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. So that's lordship. Worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's Romans 12:1. Stewardship. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and its various form. That's 1 Peter 4:10. All aboard. I'm going to read that again. Stewardship. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. The gifts of God are not for us, they're for others. All aboard, each one coming into their positions where God calls us according to the gifting and the grace that he's given us to serve one another so the whole body can be strengthened and grow up to maturity so we can be the sons and daughters of the living God and represent him right. And for the sons of God to be revealed. Next one, worship. We know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers in dark places. Yes, part of what he's calling us includes worship. Fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, and the Son, Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:3. Hardship. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:35 and 37. And you know, the hardship that we've been going through, that we've all been experiencing this year, is really propelling us into effective leadership and discipleship. The Lord had given me a word probably 6-7 years ago about this eagle. And so the eagle builds a nest, and he starts out with really sharp rocks and sticks, you know, to fill the bottom of the nest. Then he fills it with comfortable, soft, like feathers and whatever he can find to make it nice and comfortable. Well, once the eaglets grow up, you know, tall enough, big enough, where it's time for them to leave the nest and to fly, the eagle starts picking on all the comfortable stuff that the eagles, you know, want to stay in that nice, comfortable nest and be fed. But he keeps pulling it out and pulling it out until there's nothing left but the hard, you know, sticks and sharp rocks, and propelling the eagles to take flight into their destiny and purpose and calling, because they're meant to fly. They're meant to leave the nest, to go out there and soar. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So he's kicking us out of the nest. And I felt like when he gave me the word about the eagle, that it represented specifically America, because the eagle is the emblem of America. So, but it applies to us, the church. So he's kicking us out of the nest into our destiny and purpose of being the ecclesia, the governmentship, the rulership, the kingship, with the headship of Jesus at the helm. In sound workmanship, rightly dividing the word of truth, and with good stewardship, using the gift as each has received to serve one another. And one other ship, legislatorship. I didn't even know there was such a word. When I started looking at words, I was like, ooh, I like that. So when Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority and become great, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan and sigh. And so the ecclesia is to be the rulership, the headship, the legislatorship, kingship, the governorship. The ecclesia is to rule and declare the laws of God, declare the word of God, the laws and the principles of truth, and legislate it. And then I saw the Lord casting a plumb line. This pretty much all of this happened Friday, and then the Lord just confirmed everything everywhere. I have never had the Lord confirm every single detail more than once than with this message. So I saw the Lord cast a plumb line into America and in the church. And so he's really revealing his standard, because he wants us to lift up that flag and that standard accurately. And, you know, the courts are going to come into alignment with the plumb line of the Lord. So, and this is going to defeat the plan of the Antichrist with his one world order agenda of dictatorship, because he's never meant to rule and reign, you know. Then I had another picture with an ice bucket, and it was like a football game, and, you know, the team won, and then, you know, the team members came behind the coach and poured the ice bucket over his head. And the Lord was saying that he's awakening the church to the victory that he has already won. Yes, this is what's happening right now. He's awake. Thank you, Lord. Lord, some of us need an ice bucket to kind of really wake us up. But thank you, Lord, that whatever it takes, you're waking us up. You're awakening us to the victory that you already won on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that we're on the winning team. Lord, we're on the winning team. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's more with us than with the enemy, Lord. We thank you that we're on the winning team and that you always are victorious and triumph, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, what ship are we on? And all the other ships. You want me to repeat that? I think I'm going to just repeat those, all those. All right. Sonship, citizenship, membership, partnership, friendship, lordship, worship, stewardship, worship. Worship and worship. Fellowship, hardship, governship, rulership, kingship, with the headship of Jesus at the helm, workmanship, legislatorship. All right, so the church, the flagship of Jesus Christ, is lifting up her flag, lifting up her standard to the highest part of her vessel for all to see her allegiance to Jesus, the King, and his kingdom. This is what God is doing right now. And then I got this song, his kingdom shall reign over all the earth. And I'm not going to sing the rest of it, but... can you do it? His kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Okay, I can't sing, but that's okay. For none shall compare to his matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Everyone in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your name. You will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall never end. Your kingdom shall not end. Amen. I can just be myself. That's okay. So the church is coming back into her commission, lifting her sails to go. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Lord, may we hear your sound. May we hear the sound of your Spirit. May we go where you're blowing us. So again, flagship is the vessel which carries the commanding officer of a fleet or squadron and flies his distinctive flag, which is flown at the masthead, which is usually the highest part of the ship, of a vessel in commission. So I'm going to get into the commission. And we're almost done. So what is the commission? Mark 16:15-18, the title in your Bible says the Great Commission. And I'm going to read Matthew 28:18-21. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. This is in the Amplified Version. And we know Mark 16:7, you know, talks about all these signs that will follow us, which, you know, drive out demons, speak in new tongues, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead. So this is the commission. What ship are we on? And what's the commission of the ship? Are we in commission? The ship that we're on, is it in commission? So the flagship called Ecclesia. Do we say Ecclesia or Ecclesia. Okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay. Ecclesia. So the flagship, Ecclesia, the ruling body and enforcing God's law on earth. It's the ruling body that's enforcing God's law on earth. So Jesus, you know, said, pray like this. When they asked him, Lord, you know, how, you know, teach us to pray. He started out, pray like this. Our Father, which is in heaven. So it starts with sonship. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lifting up and exalting the Lord to the highest place. The next thing, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and I never really thought of this, but, you know, this whole prayer, our Father, which is in heaven, he never taught us to beg or ask. You know, that was a declaration. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, I'm not trying, we're humble, you know what I mean? But I'm trying to make a point. You know, Jesus never taught us to be beggars in prayer. And this is one of the shifts, you know, of the new mindset that God is bringing. He's bringing the church into the revelation of our partnership in the divine nature. And that when we get under that talif and that prayer shawl, and we see his heart and we hear his voice and we partner, we can decree and declare a thing and it shall be done. Especially when it's two or three gathered in his name. He's in our midst and it shall be done. When we went to the conference in Morningstar, Rick Joyner said one of the things he said that what God is doing right now, it's the two and the three gather together. It's not the big mega churches. And Friday night, the Lord really laid it on my heart to pray that, and I want to share it with everybody, and I want to encourage everybody, you know, to reach out to one or two. You know, it doesn't have to be the one or two every time. It can be different ones. But, you know, get together as with one or two. And, you know, let them be your inner circle, your confidants, and, you know, let them support you and you be a support to them and pray together, because where two or three agree, it shall be done. There's power. There's, you know, power in the two or three right now. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord's, you know, said is like, you know, we all always wait for somebody else to initiate. I'm guilty. I'm very guilty about that. I always, like, wait for other people. But, He's really challenging us, you know, you be the one to initiate. Each one of us, me, be the one to reach out and call or text. And you know, if you don't have time to literally get together, even if you just pray on the phone, there's such strength. Okay, this is part of the strength that's coming to the jaw, you know, because your angels and my angels and our agreement, and there's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit when we gather together, and there is just things that shift, and we need one another. We need to serve one another with our gifts. Not one is better than the other. We all need one another. So the ecclesia, the rulership, headship, legislatorship, governorship, ruling, speaking, declaring, prophesying. You know, God said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. He didn't say, beg the mountain to go away. He said, speak to the mountain, command that mountain to be removed. So the new wineskin of the sons and the daughters being revealed, of us coming into true sonship as the ecclesia, partnering with his divine nature, is going to speak and declare. This is the beginning of 5, 7, 8, 1, where the aleph is added to the pay. And the strength and the power and the breath of God Almighty is added to our jar, to our mouth, to our lips, to our speech. And that's why it's also very dangerous this year. Don't speak idle words this year. Don't gossip. Watch your words, because your words are going to have more power this year. He said that he will judge every idle word that we speak. So Anyway, no begging, declaring, prophesying, releasing his word. Isaiah 22:22 was one of the scriptures the Lord gave me at the beginning of the year, which talks about the keys of authority to bind and to loose, to open doors that no man can shut and close doors that no man can open. This is the legislative authority of the sons of God. And you know, it really was that way from the very beginning. Claire talked about Genesis in the beginning, because in the very beginning, God blessed Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And he said, he gave them authority to rule over every living thing on the earth. So from the very beginning, God created his creation to rule over every living thing. He gave them authority here on the earth. God has always used a man, a person, mankind on earth, to partner with him to fulfill his will. Even Jesus had to come as a human being, as a man on the earth, to release and declare, well, to release what God wanted to have done here on earth. So each one of us, it's important that we each come into our position in our place to partner with the Lord to do what it is he wants us to do. He's cleansing the church, you know, the coal to our lip. He's cleansing our lips. Put a guard over our mouth, Lord God. Put a guard over our mouth this year, Lord. Cleanse our lips. Here we are. We surrender. We lift up the sails of surrender. Here we are, and we say, send us, Lord. Here we are. We want to do what you want us to do. We want to go in the direction you want us to go. We want to believe what you say. Okay, I'm going to end with a promise in Malachi 3:16-18. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord, and this is the day when he's acting, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. So our distinction is we are holy generation, peculiar people, a holy priesthood, set apart, holy, 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 lifting the flag and the standard of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to the highest place for all to see, letting everyone know that our nationality and our allegiance is to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a distinctive flag. Thank you, Jesus.
Train of your robe.
is filling our temple. The train of your robe is filling your temple. Holy, holy, holy. We worship you, Almighty God. You're high and lifted up. High and lifted up. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. I didn't plan to sing here, okay, but just let it rip. I love you guys.